It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Appreciate being reminded of that now that we know their first two games. I was sitting here thinking I would ask Paul to predict the outcomes, the scores even, of the October 1st game in Columbus and the October 3rd home opener against Chicago. But just to make sure, Paul, you're not going there, are you?
No, I'm not going there.
Too soon? Too early? maybe the day of, but probably not, right? We're not predicting hockey games. Fun to think of the Blackhawks for the opener, though, the home opener, right? I mean, that's happened a long time ago, but not a, you know, a conference opponent. And it's Bo and Byram on a Saturday night. You can start to look forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much finished the year in Chicago. Right at the end of the year. Now they're going to start the home part of the year against Chicago. So Bo Byram it'll be a homecoming right away for he and Jordan Greenway. So we'll see how he feels about training camp and his new team when he gets here, and see what the Sabres will be all about then, and see if what we're looking at now is what we'll be looking at that night, or will we be looking at some other things.
Right, Greenway too. Paul, how much do you think the Sabres will miss Byram?
Quite a bit. I mean, the thing is, to have a guy, I mean, he is talented, and he was basically your number three or four defenseman, probably number four once Power really started to come into his own last year, and that was no insult to Byram. It's just who Buffalo has. And that's one thing Kekalainen talked about in his press conference at the end of the year, how, you know, he felt they had the best four in the NHL, and I could make that argument too.
Yeah.
As far as that went. So that's really one of the biggest reasons he wanted to leave. He didn't want to be a number three or four defenseman on a team. He wanted to be a number one defenseman, and that was not going to happen here. It wasn't going to happen in Colorado either for him with Makar. So now he's in a place where it is going to happen for him, and, you know, but he doesn't have a real good team around him. So I think his numbers aren't really going to come out real well unless the Blackhawks shock us and you know, become a very good team quickly. And, you know, he's got some suffering ahead of him right now.
He got that money, though, like you talked about.
He got money.
he got his number one defenseman money, for sure. I mean, he might be tops in the league now at the position.
No, I never would have dreamed that he would have been able to get that. And, yeah, Quinn Hughes will surpass that without question. So, especially with the salary cap going up as much as it has, which tells us the NHL is doing quite well because that means revenues are going up.
Yeah, how about that?
At a big pace for the salary cap to go up at the pace that it's going up.
You know, we're only in the middle of this sort of new, exciting period in their history. You don't know how long it'll last. Hopefully it's not already the end of it. But, you know, it's the beginning of a stretch here where you'd like to think, by their roster and the ages of their players, that they could sustain success for several years here. I wonder how Byram, if that happens, I wonder how Byram will be remembered as a Sabre, as a part of the, you know, the team where they popped it, where they broke through. Because he was no small part of that. I mean, he, like you talked about, he wasn't Dahlin either, but he wasn't insignificant to the story here.
And he had a rough start this year. I mean, a lot of people point to his numbers this year, and I think part of that is before December when they got hot. He wasn't very good. It wasn't going well for him. And then he got really good and played well, as did the rest of the team. And they all just kind of gelled where it almost didn't matter which defensive pair was on the ice. The Sabres were giving up very few scoring chances. They weren't turning the puck over, you know, to produce those scoring chances against their goaltenders. Their goaltenders were, you know, their save percentage was number two or three in the NHL last year. And a lot of that is because they cut way down on the types of scoring chances that they were allowing. And Byram was a big part of that. He played a lot of penalty kill for them and eventually wound up on the number two power play for Power Let's just face it. As a young defenseman, the power play is not working for Owen Power in the National Hockey League. I'm not saying it never will, but it just wasn't. And they recognized that finally and pulled him off it and gave Byram an opportunity, which, if we're all being honest, I don't think went real well either. But he'll be on the number one power play, I'm sure, in Chicago.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. I'm Mike Shope, getting some hockey talk in. Bulldog is off this week. So we're just kind of like maybe now more back in our chairs with the idea of there being a big move coming from the Sabres. The farther we get into the summer, the less likely it would seem. But that doesn't have to be, you know, like it's not 0% or anything at this point. You know, thinking about Hellebuck again, Paul, and what the Sabres might have to give up to get him. Do you have an idea of like what you think he might take in a trade? Are we looking at three of these young pieces in your mind? Are we looking at even possibly the draft picks they just made? I don't know if it would ever get to that point, but what would you see a trade looking like?
Well, it sounds like, if reports are correct, and this would track with Kekalainen, it sounded like he just didn't want to give Winnipeg the fourth overall pick. It sounded like he wanted the eighth overall pick in return as part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And Winnipeg was going to, no, that's not going to happen. And then, Winnipeg, went a little too far. I think Mertka fine, but we're not going to throw the number four pick and Hellenius in there, you know, type of a thing. And, you know, it was just a big ask. You know, Jack Quinn was involved in that also. And it was just a big ask. And it just appeared that, all right, now they want Hellenius. Nah, you know what? No, this is going to have to come down a little bit before we're interested if you're the Sabres. Now, that doesn't mean they still won't talk about it. They probably have. It sounds like they have. And but if the price doesn't come down, I would be shocked if that trade is made, especially since Kekalainen has said more than once that his goaltending, he's happy with his goaltending. And he's even indicated there's a pretty good chance they will run back the three goaltenders that they had because he liked them. And I've said, and I'll say it again, it wouldn't shock me if there's an injury to Lucan in their line, if all of a sudden Ellis took the bull by the horns here and wound up in their net. I mean, that wouldn't shock me at all. There are a lot of folks who think highly of Colton Ellis. And so if he gets an opportunity like Bussey did this year in Carolina, and that's – I don't know if I mentioned this to you or not, but that makes me scratch my head, the reports that Carolina's in on Hellebuck. It's like Bussey had a really, really good regular season. I mean, he came from nowhere off the waiver wire and played really, really well and put up really good numbers. And then when they needed him the most at the end of the Stanley Cup playoffs, he was fantastic. So I'm kind of scratching. And then you signed him to a contract. So why would you be interested in Hellebuck? You just won the cup with what you have. That's strange to me. I don't know why they would have an interest in that. Give up assets to get something that, I don't know, I just don't feel they need.
Not to mention Freddie Anderson, who got them to the finals, basically,
right,
you know, with a dominant playoff season as well.
He's gone, but they still have Bussey and the Russian kid, who they're high on, you know. So they're still in the, you know, mm-hmm. they had three goaltenders, and he got into a little bit of the playoffs once it was Bussey and him, because they didn't dress Anderson as the backup because of his injury. So, that's why I just wonder how accurate that report is, because I don't understand, if you're Carolina, why would you be in on this?
Your Ellis point is interesting. I mean, for all the time I've spent talking about just how random goaltending is in terms of predictability, there's a guy that they liked well enough to keep him around all season. It was somewhat controversial, at least for a while, they're doing that. And so, yeah, I mean, if he's somebody that they're right in terms of projecting his talent, I mean, he'd have to get a chance, which probably means something is going wrong, whether that's an injury or something else. Not necessarily for him to get that chance, but if he were to, I wouldn't assume that he couldn't play well.
And, Mike, I think more and more teams are going to do it. You know, go with three goaltenders.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the E-bug rule, you have to have the E-bug, but, you know, you can have three goaltenders which means you can do what the Sabres did twice this year when one of their goaltenders got hurt. Lukanen did it once and Lyon did it once, where they came down from the press box dressed. They couldn't sit on the bench, which I don't understand. Well, I don't know why they can't get on the bench, but they can't. But they can sit in the locker room ready to go if the goaltender that's in. That's the only way they can go in is if the second goaltender gets hurt, and then you can put him in. So they don't have to go to the e-bug, and I think more teams are going to do that now. From what I'm reading, we're going to see a lot more teams have three goaltenders because you don't want to get down to that e-bug, not that it happens all that often anyway. Yes, you're going to have one there for the visiting team. But, you know, if you've got your three goaltenders, so I think more are going to do it. And maybe the thing I liked about Ellis is he could sit there for a month and be ready to play. I mean, he would stay after practice and work on things that players wanted to work on or he wanted to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it was long periods of time in between starts, and he'd start and win the game, you know. And I thought, well, there's a kid that keeps himself ready and keeps himself ready to go, and this is his first NHL season. Then I see what Bussey does, and he came to Carolina the same exact way off waivers in the beginning of the year, and he got his opportunity, and look what happened. So, you know, I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen. All I'm saying is it wouldn't surprise me at all if it did.
What do you think about Quinn as a piece in a trade offer involving Hellebuck or I suppose anyone else? I mean, we'd all maybe have different rankings of the young players and just like how willing you might be or you think the Sabres might be in disposing them. None of that will be easy if it comes to it. Is Quinn for me is one of the more obvious ones where, I mean, I appreciate his talent, but I'd have an easier time letting go of him than certain others.
Absolutely. No, there's no question. I would get rid of him before Östlund or Helenius or even some of the guys who we haven't even seen sign contracts yet. And Jerry Fortin said something the other day, which is very true. If you don't keep stocking the cupboards as you go along, it will hit you rather quickly. So, yeah, people say, well, you got a lot of these prospects. Where, well, yeah, you can use them for trades. You've got a lot of them, that, and we know they all can't be in Sabre uniforms, but you might need something at a trade deadline or now if there's a player. You know, let's say all of a sudden Dylan Larkin says he would come to Buffalo. Okay, it's going to take some of these guys then that you've got stocked in college hockey or up in junior or over overseas or wherever they happen to be. And Jerry Fortin, he's very, very good at judging talent. And I found that out when he was an assistant coach at Niagara. And Niagara would wind up with players that I'm sitting there going, how is this player not at Wisconsin or North Dakota? You know, he would get these blue chip guys that you wonder how he got them. But, you know, and then Niagara would wind up in the NCAA tournament, or they would upset some. They had some pretty big upsets along the way back when I was doing hockey there, and Jerry Fortin was there. And he showed me how he really has a good eye for talent, and I think, you know, he's done that with the Sabres too and now is in charge of their drafts.
Steve Yzerman, Paul, sort of resigns. I mean, he's going up, not down, but that didn't work out, Detroit.
Yeah, I'm not kind of buying that. I'm. That is, in my estimation, this is my opinion, one of the best players in Detroit Red Wings history, and we're going to try to not embarrass him as much as we can. So let's call it a resignation or whatever. So, you know, if he doesn't have another job somewhere else, then we'll just use him as an advisor. But how much is he actually going to be advising? So. Yeah, that's just understanding the type of player he is in Detroit Red Wings history, and we just don't want to throw him out the door.
Mm-hmm.
But the timing of it is interesting. I mean, you've let him go through the draft.
It's late.
And free agency and, you know, whatever trades might be there. And now the question in my mind is, does that change Dylan Larkin's mind at all? Because there was credible reporting out there that Dylan Larkin and Yzerman did not see eye to eye on things. And that was part of what this is about. So now that Steve Yzerman isn't in charge, is it possible Dylan Larkin might say, okay, he might wait to see who is in charge and say, you know what, maybe I like the direction this is headed in now and rescind the trade request. So we'll see how this goes down and if it changes anything for Dylan Larkin.
Or perhaps Yzerman couldn't get him moved or wasn't willing, and we're going to have somebody else take the wheel on that. So we'll see.
Jason Botterill, he wasn't willing to purge his hockey department, and that cost him his job because it was just a month where Kim Pegula had said Jason Botterill was staying back. And everything, yeah. And I don't even think it was a month earlier. And the next thing you know, Terry Pegula and Kim Pegula are sitting at a press conference saying we do not believe we were being heard. And that's when Kevin Adams was hired, and he purged the hockey department. Now, I will give Kevin Adams credit. It was a huge – a lot of people lost their jobs. But Kevin Adams realized rather quickly we went too far. I mean, the guy that left today, Jeremiah Crow, he was in charge of amateur and pro scouting. That's too big of a job for one person. It just is, especially an inexperienced at the time person. And Kevin Adams realized that and said, we got to change this. I mean, we went too far here. We got to start getting some people back in the organization, and they did. So I'll give him credit for that, to realize that this went too far and convincing Terry Pegula that it went too far.
And now we have John Davidson, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an advisor. It sounds like he has the same role with the Sabres as Kevin Adams has with the Bruins. So he's a senior advisor and somebody that Kekalainen is very familiar with in Columbus. And I think Davidson might have been the one that fired Kekalainen, wasn't he?
Maybe. Yeah, they were there together for a bit, so maybe.
There are no hard feelings there. Otherwise, Kekalainen wouldn't have brought him in, and maybe Kekalainen felt I didn't get the job done. So maybe, you know, he was well-founded to do it or whatever, but whatever, if there was any problem, it's been healed, and they are now together again.
Paul, stay indoors today.
I still have a lot of stuff to do outside. I may still get out there yet. I haven't been out there yet.
Okay.
So we'll see.
It's rebel.
Yeah, it's not like I obviously see the smoke now, but I've never like smelled it or it's never bothered me. You know, when we've had this the past couple of years from the wildfires up in Canada, but my bushes look like nobody lives here, and my lawn's getting a little bit long. So, and I'm thinking the sun's not going to be beating on me, so maybe it's not as hot as it could be.
All right. Well, good luck out there, Paul, if you risk it out there. Thanks for your time today.
No problem. Nice talking to you. Take care.
Paul Hamilton on the West Shore Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. I'm not even sure the sun point holds. It might still be... I don't know. I'm going to say something and make it. It's going to sound like I really know this, but isn't it maybe one of those deals where the rays are still like reaching you, but you just can't see them or something? Are you still maybe at risk sun-wise? Anyway, I don't know. I'm just filling time. Ryan Paganetti coming up in 15 minutes here on WGR.